Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Many books have been written about the feeding of the 5,000 near the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Today, why this miracle should convince everyone that Jesus is Lord. Still not convinced yourself? Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is in a series on seven convincing miracles. Today, we're in John chapter 6, learning about Jesus, Lord of our daily bread. Jesus used ordinary bread, just like he used an ordinary man.
You know, D.L. Moody, who founded this church and the Moody Bible Institute, had only about the second or third grade. That's as far as he went in school. And Pastor Wiersbe was explaining yesterday that when D.L. Moody came across a word in the Bible he didn't know, he stopped, made some comments, and then continued on the other side, which wasn't too bad an idea. But the question is, why did God use this humble man, D.L. Moody? Why did he use a man who was able to pronounce Mesopotamia in one syllable? Why did he use a man who, in many ways unqualified, really had a great impact on Great Britain and America? Well, as we learned, it was Varley who challenged Moody one day and said, "Moody, the world has yet to see what God can do in a man and through a man who is totally yielded to him." And D.L. Moody said, "By the grace of God, I'll be that man." Wow. Could I just simply pause and say this, that the size of your lunch does not matter? You know, we like to compare lunches, don't we? I have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. Ha, ha, ha. I haven't got barley bread, but I've got Wonder Bread in my knapsack, right? And I have filet mignon. I'm not bothered about these 2 small fish. And look at my lunch and look at your lunch. I want you to know today that when you present something to Jesus and you transfer it from your hands into his, the size of the lunch does not matter. And you yourself may be amazed at what the master can do with that which is in his hands. Well, we've taken a picture of the multitude. We've seen their need, and we know now how the disciples are thinking. And by the way, don't you like it when Jesus asked that question, "What shall we do among so many?" And then the text says he asked this to test Philip because he himself had in mind what he's going to do. Some of you are in tight situations right now, and God is testing you. And did you know that Jesus is there in advance? I mean, he is in Hong Kong in advance. He is in the cities of the world in advance, knowing what he himself is going to do. But meanwhile, we swither and we sweat because we don't know what he's going to do, but he's already got his mind made up. But let's take a second picture. The second picture is of the miracle. Jesus said in verse 10, "Have the people sit down," and there was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. And in the book of Mark, we read that they sat in companies of 50 or companies of 100. And Jesus then took the loaves and gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. And when they all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Wow, what a miracle. What a miracle. First of all, Jesus gave thanks. "Father, Creator, Lord of heaven and earth, I thank thee that indeed thou art the miracle-working God." And he gives praise to God. And as a result of giving thanks, he then takes the bread and begins to break it. And even though I cannot prove it in the text, I believe that the miracle actually happened in the hands of Christ. I don't think that he created cartloads of food and then said, take this cartload over there and take that cartload over there. The disciples and those who were helping them came back to Jesus again and again and again. And no matter how much bread they took from him, there was another loaf in his hands. Wouldn't have you liked to get that with a video camera? You talk about the miracle. And so everyone eats. And it says that they all had what they wanted. They were filled, and then they pick up 12 baskets. I want you to notice that the fragments that remain, the leftovers, are much greater than the amount that Jesus started out with. He begins with 5 loaves and 2 fish, 5 barley loaves, and that was symbolic of a very poor person, by the way. But he begins with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he ends up with 12 baskets of fragments, having done a miracle for, what shall we say, 5,000, 7,000, 10,000. It does not matter. It could have been 20,000 or 100,000, because the Lord of glory chose to do a miracle, and the number did not matter. What a wonderful miracle. Years ago in Canada, you know, Canada has some liberal churches, just like the United States does. There was what was known, and still is, the United Church of Canada. And in their Sunday school lesson, I read what they had to say about this passage. You know what they said? Because remember, these liberals, they don't believe in miracles. And they said that what really happened was this. Jesus used this little boy who was willing to share his lunch with Jesus as an example of selflessness. Everyone else saw this boy being willing to share his lunch with Jesus. They became so embarrassed and so ashamed that they all pulled out their knapsacks and began to share what they brought with them and had a big picnic, and there was enough for everyone. Isn't that sweet? And I guess if you're a liberal and you have a god the size of a knapsack, maybe you should come up with a knapsack theory of what happened. My dear friend, the multitude was weary and tired, and it was evening, we discover, and they did not know where to go, and Jesus had them sit down, and they ate their fill. And 12 baskets, one for at least every one of the disciples, 12 baskets remained. What a miracle. Now, of course, you know what they're going to do as a result of that. They're going to say, make him president right now. That's what the text says. Verse 14, after the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew to a mountain himself. They said, let him be our king. Wouldn't you vote for him? Can't you just imagine somebody who's going to create bread miraculously for everybody? You don't have to work. You never have to go hungry. All that you need to do is to be around him, and some little kid has to give him something, and everybody else has enough. Let's make him king. Let's elect him right now. Let's conscript him at the next convention. You know, a presidential candidate whose name need not be mentioned had it as his slogan, it's the economy, stupid. And you know that that is actually very bad statesmanship, but excellent politics. It is always the economy, always the economy. And I make no parallels between any president of the United States and Adolf Hitler, but people frequently ask me, why did the church in Germany, why did they buy into Hitler's agenda? It's the economy. He revived the German economy. And listen to me carefully. Whenever men and women are in difficulty and whenever they are hungry, they tend to act as if their bodies are more important than their souls. You must be very, very careful. Very careful. People will say, I don't care about anything as long as we have bread, as long as the stock market is up, as long as the economy is churning, leave us alone. So here they said, let's make him king. Well, we've taken our second snapshot. It was of the miracle. We saw how Jesus took the bread and in taking the bread, he distributed it to his disciples, and the miracle took place. And we pointed out that as a result of this miracle, they wanted to make him king. Now let's take a third snapshot, and that is of the message. That is of the message itself. You know, they eventually found Jesus. In between, there's another miracle. Jesus walks on water, and we're going to discuss that next time. So you keep it in mind. But we pick it up in verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus knows what is on their mind and says, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me, not because you saw the miraculous signs." In other words, it's not as if you want to believe in me because you recognize me to be the Messiah, because the signs were to point to my Godhood. But the reason you're seeking me is because you ate the loaves and had your fill. All that you cared about was your stomach. Verse 27. "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." What Jesus is saying here in the message is, first of all, disciples and everyone else that's listening, remember that heavenly food is much more important than the earthly, than the physical food. He's not saying don't work for food physically in the sense of saying just starve to death. Of course we have to work for food. We have to work for bread. But he's saying as long as you eat the food that spoils, as long as that is your priority, you might miss the food which leads to eternal life, namely the heavenly food. This is Pastor Lutzer. I suppose what I've been preaching about is a temptation for all of us, isn't it? We are all tempted to work for the things of this world, just as if they are going to last forever. And then, of course, negate or forget about our souls, which are eternal. You've often heard me quote, possibly, the analysis of what happened in Hitler's Germany. And it comes down to this, that when people are under pressure, when they are hungry, most of them will always act as if their bodies are more important than their souls. That's why you have so many people selling themselves, as it were, to the Reich, even though they were jeopardizing their Christian testimony, and even though they were headed for, what shall we say, a lifestyle of great evil, because they wanted to live. Well, my friend, today it's good for us to be reminded that there are some things more important than living. The martyrs throughout the centuries have proven that faithfulness to Jesus Christ is more important than life itself. I urge you today, don't just work for the bread that perishes, but rather pay attention to your soul. Pay attention to your relationship with God. Stop what you are doing that crowds out that relationship and begin to build it through Jesus Christ and through His Holy Word. Because from my heart to yours today, eternity awaits. Be prepared. It's just around the corner.
Erwin Lutzer with more of Jesus, Lord of Our Daily Bread, his fifth message on seven convincing miracles. Next time, more lessons from the one who said, "I am the bread of life." This series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.